Acts chapter 8. And our text for this morning is at verse 26 where we commenced our reading. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem, unto Gaza, which is desert. We come once again to consider this man, Philip, the evangelist. Last Lord's Day morning, we looked at Philip and his ministry, learned something about the ministry of this man Philip, the evangelist. Today I want to consider Philip and his mission. And that mission involved Philip leaving the city of Samaria and going on a mission to reach one soul, and to tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ. This, of course, we know, was following the great persecution of the church in Jerusalem. We read there in chapter 8 and verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death, that is the death of Stephen. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which it was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And as those out of the church at Jerusalem were scattered abroad, we are told that they went everywhere preaching the word. Verse 4. That resulted in Philip going down to the city of Samaria, and there he preached Christ unto them. We noted last week that three locations are mentioned here in the verse 1 of the chapter 8. Because there in the verse 1, we're told that Saul was consenting unto the death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, where? Which was in Jerusalem. And then we read on, and they were scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria. So there's the three locations: Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. And those three locations are in keeping, of course, with the words of the Lord to his disciples, that they were to tarry at Jerusalem until they would be filled with the Holy Ghost and with power. And then the Lord said, Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. But the Lord didn't stop there. The Lord went on and said, And unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now we see that Philip has been called away from Samaria. The gospel has been preached in Jerusalem. It has been preached in Judea. It has been preached in Samaria. But what about the uttermost parts of the earth? Well, Philip's mission that we want to deal with this morning involves him speaking to a man of Ethiopia, verse 27. And that teaches us that he was a man from Africa. Think of that. We have the three locations, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. And now Philip has been sent to Gaza to speak to a man of Ethiopia, a man from Africa. And there we have the door opening The door opening into the uttermost parts of the earth. A great door, and effectual, is opened unto Philip for the gospel now to be taken unto the uttermost parts of the earth. This is the door opening through Philip speaking here to this man from Africa. And of course the gospel would be taken to the uttermost parts of the earth. But here was the door opening into that field of evangelism and into that field of spreading the gospel. And so let us now consider this mission that Philip, the evangelist, embarked upon. Regarding his mission, I want us to notice, first of all, the order. The order that was given to Philip. We know, we have learned that Philip, the evangelist, like Stephen, and the others who were chosen to serve tables, the qualifications of those men were they were to be filled with the Holy Ghost and with wisdom. And Philip was one of the seven that was chosen. So Philip was a man who was full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And he certainly knew the leading of the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit in his life, as we see there from our text in the verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying. And so here is the correspondence with Philip from the angel of the Lord. And he was to go down to Gaza, which is desert. And he was led there by the angel of the Lord. We're reminded again of the words of the psalmist. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And the man whose life is ordered by the Lord, that man will delight to be in the way of the Lord and do the Lord's will and do his bidding. Well, Philip was a good man, all right. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Well, the Lord ordered the steps of Philip. And regarding this order, notice first of all the pathway. Notice, Philip did not embark upon this journey to Gaza of his own accord. Philip did not embark on this journey before he got a word from the Lord. And the word from the Lord came to him there in the verse 26. It's never a good idea. Never. To make a move and to move to a new location without a word from the Lord. From time to time, our ministers receive a call to different churches. Or they feel led to go to different places. Well, they're not going to say, well, that'll be a nice place to go to. Yeah, we'll accept that call. No. That would be the pathway to disaster. No, the servants of the Lord need a word from God to guide them and direct them whether they should go or not and where they should go. We read of a man in Genesis who made that mistake. He made a move to a new location without ever consulting the Lord. That man was Lot. You turn there to Genesis. Chapter 13. You recall how there had been a dispute had arisen between the herdsmen of Abraham and the herdsmen of Lot. And Abraham suggested that they part one from the other to keep the peace between them. And we read in verse 8 of Genesis 13, and Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my brethren and thy brethren, For we be brethren, herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes to the Lord. No. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou goest on to Zoar. Verse 11. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Lot did not ask for guidance from the Lord. He lifted up his eyes, but he didn't lift up his eyes high enough. He should have looked to the Lord of heaven. Instead, he looked upon the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered. Never consulted the Lord at all. And we know how that move of Lot to a new location cost him severely, because it eventually led to the death of his wife when she was turned into a pillar of salt. But Philip made no such mistake. He did not move to Gaza without getting a word from the Lord. He went there according to him being ordered by the Lord. And as he made his way from the city of Samaria, he could say with Abraham's servant, I being in the way, the Lord led me. But look at where the Lord led him. He got the word from the Lord, but look at where the Lord led him. Again, in verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem, unto Gaza, which is desert. Can you imagine? There's Philip. He had been greatly used as an evangelist in the city of Samaria, preaching to hundreds of people. And in the city of Samaria, revival had broken out. We know that from the verse 8. And now, the angel of the Lord has taken him away from the place of blessing, away from the place of revival, and led him to Gaza, which is desert. What a contrast. From where he had been preaching Christ unto the people in the city of Samaria. But then he must be prepared to go wherever the Lord led him. Well, he was a man full of the Holy Ghost. We've already seen he was a man who was led by the Holy Spirit. He was a man whose life was sold out to God. And here's the evidence of it. Being led away from the city of Samaria, the place of blessing, the place of revival, and led to a desert. Don't we often sing, where he may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him so. And Philip was prepared to go wherever the Lord led him. Without a doubt, Philip lived the surrendered life. How surrendered are we to the Lord? Philip was surrendered. We notice something else, not only the pathway, but the purpose. You notice in that verse 26. The Lord did not reveal to Philip why he wanted him to go to Gaza and go to that desert place. It wasn't revealed to Philip. But he still went. What could possibly be done there in that desert place? Does this not remind us of a similar situation that Abraham found himself in? You go back to Genesis again. And there in Genesis 12 and verse 1. And the Lord, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Unto a land that I will show thee. But he didn't tell him where. Can you imagine if some of Abraham's neighbors said to him, Abraham, where are you going? Abraham would have had to have said, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going. And you think of Abraham, and he didn't know where he was going. And we read in Hebrews 11 and verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. But he still went. He obeyed. Abraham didn't know where he was going. Philip didn't know why he was going. But both men obeyed the Lord. They both obeyed the Lord. They were surrendered to the Lord. They both had faith in God, and they knew the Lord wouldn't lead them astray. So there we have the order. Then we notice the obedience. The angel of the Lord had spoken to Philip, saying, arise and go. What do we read in the verse 27? And he arose and went. The Lord said, arise and go, and he arose and went. Even though he didn't know why he was going there, he didn't know why the Lord had sent them there, he arose and went. I want you to notice something. As far as Philip was concerned, he asked no questions. He didn't ask the Lord, why am I going there? Why art thou sending me there? No questions, no sign of reluctance, no rebellion, going from the city of Samaria, the place of revival, and been sent to Gaza, which is desert. He never asked one question. He went as the Lord had commanded him. Arise and go. And he arose and went. And he went to Gaza, which was desert. Ah, do we not admire and thank the Lord for our missionaries who leave the comfort of home? And many of them are called to places that are literally our desert to take the gospel to a people who have never heard. And you say, well, why do they go? Why do they leave the comforts of home? Why do they leave family and friends at home and go to places, as I said, that are literally desert? Why do they go? I'll tell you why. Because the Lord said to them, arise and go. And they arose and went. That's why we always need to pray for our missionaries and the sacrifices that they have made. The Lord said, arise and go. And not a question. No sign of reluctance or rebellion. So they arose and went. Turn to Acts 21. There we read about Paul the Apostle. And Paul, in his missionary journeys, the Lord has told him to go to Jerusalem. He has been warned, if you go to Jerusalem, they'll kill you there. You'll suffer there. Acts 21, verse 13. The believers tried to dissuade him from going. Verse 13, Acts 21. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready, not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. And those who tried to dissuade him from going came to the conclusion, this man is determined to do the will of the Lord. And so they no longer tried to dissuade him. They simply said, the Lord's will be done. It was the will of the Lord that Paul go to Jerusalem. And he arose and went, saying that he was ready to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is. That's what it is to do the will of God. That's what it is to be surrendered to the Lord. That's what it is to be sold out to God. And that's what it means to go through with God our vows to pay. Thine all upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest and give to thee God's very best. Paul arose and went. Just as Abraham arose and went. And as Philip arose and went. As well as the order to go and the obedience he went, we notice the opportunity. It was only when Philip arose and went unto Gaza, which is desert, that he discovered the reason why the angel of the Lord had sent him there. Again, Acts 8 and verse 27. He went down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Oh, there's so many things there in those few verses. First of all, here was Philip's opportunity now to speak to a man about his soul. Now he knows why the angel of the Lord sent for one soul. Think of that. For one soul. There in Gaza, which was desert. He was sent away from the city of Samaria, place of blessing and the place of revival, to speak to one soul. There we see, first of all, the person. Regarding this opportunity, the person. Philip the evangelist had been called away from the city of Samaria. He had preached Christ unto them, and revival had come. Now Philip was to minister unto a man. One man. A man of Ethiopia. This shows us just how surrendered Philip was to the Lord and his will. He first of all went not knowing why the Lord was sending him there. Then we discover he was sent to minister to a congregation. No. He was sent to minister to one man. From a city full of people to a desert to speak to one person about the Lord Jesus. Being an evangelist, a preacher of Christ, Paul knew the value of one soul. Something we all need to get a hold of. The value of a soul. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That tells us the Lord has calculated it for us. That the soul of one man is of more value. Listen, is of more value than all the riches in this world today. That's how valuable one soul is. And Christ himself, of course, knew the value of a man's soul. When he left the splendors of glory and came into this world as God manifest in flesh and went all the way to Calvary, and there was crucified, and there he bled, and there he died. For the souls of men. That was a high price to pay, wasn't it? Oh, teach me what it meaneth. That cross uplifted high, with one, the man of sorrow, condemned to bleed and die. Oh, teach me what it cost thee to make a sinner whole. Teach me. Savior, teach me the value of a soul. And Philip realized and knew, of course, the value of one soul. He was prepared to leave the city of Samaria and go and minister to one soul. As well as the person. We're told about his position. He was a man who held a high position, a eunuch. The word eunuch means officer. He was a religious man because he'd gone to Jerusalem for the worship. He was a trusted man because he was in charge of all the queen's treasure. Verse 27. So Philip understood now why. He understood now why he had been sent by the angel of the Lord to the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now he knew. It was to witness to this man and tell him about Christ. But there's something interesting here. Think of it. The gospel had been preached to the people of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. The gospel had never gone to Africa. This was just the beginning. This was just the door opening. And yet, here is a man from Africa, one person. And God has sent Philip from Samaria to Gaza, to this desert, to speak to one man. And he led him to Christ. And that tells me, here we have, out of Africa, one of God's elect. The gospel had never reached Africa. But here we find that in Africa, the Lord had one of his chosen people. If you turn to Romans chapter 10. In Romans 10 and verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Or how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Well, Philip was sent. And sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So there you have the Ethiopian eunuch in Africa, evidently one of God's elect. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now we see why God sent Philip to reach the Ethiopian eunuch. He needed the gospel preached to him. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And now, as it were, the picture is becoming clearer. Why Philip was sent away from the city of blessing to Gaza, which was desert, to speak to one man, for that one man was one of God's elect. It's a wonderful story, isn't it? As well as the person and the position. Notice the providence of God. On the face of it, was this not a remarkable meeting between the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip? I think it was quite remarkable. Philip left the city of Samaria, had gone down to Gaza, which is desert, and from there it's quite a distance. And here's the man, Ethiopian eunuch, coming from Africa. And the two men met on the one road. Oh, I know people look at that and say, oh, what a coincidence. Others say, boy, wasn't that lucky. Of course, we all know it was nothing of the kind. The providence of a sovereign God brought the two men together at exactly the right time. It was all planned by the Lord. The Ethiopian eunuch needed to be told about Christ, and Philip was the evangelist who was sent to deliver the message. And wasn't it worth it for Philip to travel that great distance from Samaria to Gaza to reach one soul? It was worth it. In the light of the value of a soul. But think about something here for a moment. There's Philip, and he has come down from the city of Samaria. There's the eunuch, and he has come from Africa. And they have met. at one spot on the road. Perfect timing, wasn't it? The Lord had planned it all. But what would have happened if, when the angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Arise and go," and Philip did not arise and go? Or perhaps said, "I'll wait until tomorrow. I'll wait and then I'll go." Well, we know what would have happened. The meeting would never have taken place. Philip would have missed the opportunity to speak to the Ethiopian eunuch. He would have been gone from the place that Philip met with him. Wasn't it as well that Philip obeyed the voice of the angel of the Lord, and when he was told to arise and go, wasn't it as well he arose and went? Isn't it? If he had left it late, or left it a day later, he would have been too late to meet with the Ethiopian eunuch. He had missed the opportunity to lead this man to Christ. And that teaches us, when the Lord tells us to do something, it's better that we do it and respond immediately. When the Lord tells us something from His Word, whether it's at home in our Bible study at home or whether it's from the pulpit on the Sabbath day, when the Lord challenges to do something, it's better we do it and not just dismiss it. What would have happened if Philip had dismissed that message? He would have missed the opportunity to speak to this eunuch. The person, the position, the providence, and then you have the prompting. We see here how the life and labors of Philip were under the control of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 29. Here's the Ethiopian eunuch returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Verse 29. "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, 'Go near and join thyself to his chariot.' And Philip ran thither to him." There's the prompting of the Holy Spirit again. Philip, once more, notice, he responded as he had done before. He was told to arise and go, and he rose and went. And now the Spirit of God said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And it says, and Philip ran. He ran hither to him. Isn't that what we have seen in the life of Philip thus far? Always obeying the Spirit's word and the Spirit's leading. And just as the Apostle Paul said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 25. And Philip the evangelist was a man like Stephen. We have noted that. Full of faith and of wisdom. And Philip's obedience was the evidence of that. You'll notice how Philip did respond to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Philip ran. He ran thither to him. Philip was no lazy individual. He was no procrastinator. He didn't put things off. When the Spirit of the Lord told him, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot," Philip ran thither to him. What does that tell us? Something more about Philip. Tells me about his enthusiasm. Philip was enthusiastic about obeying the Spirit's leading and about the possibility of speaking to a man about Christ. He ran. Here was an opportunity to tell a man about the Savior, so he ran. He didn't want to miss the opportunity. The man was in a chariot. He would have been on the move. And if Philip had not have run to that chariot and to speak to the Ethiopian eunuch, he had missed the opportunity. I tell you, when the Lord tells you to do something, you're better doing it. Not put it off. Philip responded immediately, and with haste, he ran. He ran. The great American preacher D.L. Moody was a great man for Sunday schools and reaching the children. And one day he saw a young girl in the city of Chicago, and he invited her to the Sunday school. She said she would come. Well, Moody was looking out for her that day, and she didn't turn up. So later on in the week, he happened to be in a bus traveling somewhere, and he looked out and he saw the young girl walking down the street. The young girl whom he had invited and the young girl who didn't turn up. You know what Moody did? He got off the bus and he ran down the street after her. And she saw him coming. And she was near her home and she ran up a side street and Moody ran after her. I know you wouldn't get away with that today. But he ran after her, and she ran into a house and he ran into the house after her. And she ran up the stairs. And Moody went up the stairs after her. And she went into her room and she got under the bed. And Moody got down under the bed after her. And said, "Why didn't you come to Sunday school?" That's a true story. D.L. Moody ran after souls. You could say here, Philip ran after souls, ran after one soul. Regarding Philip's mission, we've noticed the order. He's told to go. We've noticed the obedience. We've noticed the opportunity, speaking to one soul. And then we notice the openings. If you look closely at this portion of Scripture, there are a number of openings referred to. First of all, the eunuch had the book opened. He was reading Isaiah 53. Read there verses 30 to 33. Wouldn't have been a book as we have it today, but a scroll. But for the sake of argument, he had the book opened. And he was reading about Christ in Isaiah 53. And here we see how the Lord prepared the way for Philip. Here's the man coming back from Jerusalem, going home, and he has the book opened at Isaiah 53. The Lord was preparing the way for Philip to talk to him about the Savior. And when we obey the leading of the Spirit of God, the Lord will open the way for us. He'll not lead us down into a dark, blind alley. He'll prepare the way for us, as he did for Philip. The next opening, the book was opened. Look at verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth. So there's another opening. Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. That's what we need to do. When the opportunity is given, we need to open our mouth and speak a word for Christ. So the book was opened. Philip opened his mouth. Then there's another opening. In verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There's another opening. The Lord opened his heart. So the book was opened. Philip's mouth was opened. And the eunuch's heart was opened. He became a believer. And there he was baptized. You could say, mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. All the way from the city of Samaria to Gaza, which is desert, and the soul of the Ethiopian eunuch saved. And it was worth it all. And Philip was able to lead him to Christ through Isaiah 53. Believer, think of it. If someone came to you and said, I'd like to be saved, lead me to Christ, would we know how to do it? Would we know what verses of Scripture to turn to? We need to be ready just in case. We've noticed his ministry, Philip and his mission. And finally and quickly, Philip and his move. When Philip the evangelist's mission was accomplished, namely the saving of the Ethiopian eunuch, we're told, verse 39, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. There you have, first of all, his departure. His departure. And as the two men parted, one from the other, the eunuch went on his way home rejoicing. And we see once again another example of what Peter said in 1 Peter 1 verse 8, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Tell you, when a man or a woman gets saved and they become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, they have joy unspeakable. In other words, a joy that cannot be put into words. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. One soul. Philip had many stars in his crown. And one of those stars was the Ethiopian eunuch. We notice not only his departure, but his dedication. It is no wonder that the man is called Philip the Evangelist, because we read about him being led by the Spirit to Azotus. Azotus is the same place that we read about in the Old Testament as Ashdod. Ashdod was an ungodly place. It was where the temple of Dagon was, the fish god. And Ashdod means stronghold or fortress. And we read then, but Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities. What a man Philip was. And here he takes the gospel to Ashdod or Azotus, a place that means fortress or stronghold. But as Philip went there preaching the gospel and preaching Christ, there's no place as strong enough to withstand the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Notice his destination. In verse 40 then, but Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. It's interesting. The two men parted the one from the other. The Ethiopian eunuch went on his way home. Philip, we are told, went down to Azotus. The two men parted. But they've been joined together. The both men are in glory now. The man that Philip led to Christ, they're united in heaven. And we read in verse 40, Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. From Azotus to Caesarea is a distance of 60 miles. And as he went all the way, he preached all the way. Isn't that amazing? And he came to Caesarea. If you turn to Acts 21, and with this we'll close, Acts 21, and verse 8, and the next day, we that were with Paul's company departed and came into Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, so it's the same Philip, and abode with him, and the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And Paul's company tarried there with him. And there's Philip, is evidently settled down in Caesarea. But we see he's still Philip the evangelist. He's at home now. He's still preaching Christ. He's still Philip the evangelist. And when you think of it, believer, that's where we leave him. That's where we say farewell to Philip the evangelist. We say farewell to him, and he's still at work. He's still serving the Lord, and he could say with the Apostle Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have kept, I've finished my course, I have kept the faith. Good way to go, isn't it? A good way to finish your days, still serving the Lord. Philip, the evangelist. We said Philip's name means the lover of horses. But we can certainly say Philip was a lover of souls. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. O dear Lord and loving God, we thank thee for men like Philip, men who are prepared to run after souls, men who obeyed the voice of God, men who did not dismiss the word of the Lord, men who walked in the Spirit, were led by the Spirit, were filled by the Spirit. O Lord, have us to desire to be like Philip and be a lover of souls, a winner of the lost. For they that, Lord, win souls for Christ, they'll shine as the stars in the firmament. And Philip's shining tonight. Lord, be with us now as we part the one from the other. Bless us throughout this thy day. And return us, Lord, this evening to our evening gospel service as we'll again spend time around the word. Bless all who are sick with healing. Bless those, Lord, that we have learned of lately who mourn. A friend of ours in the church in Macrofelt. Lord, bless that dear woman. She's lost her husband. Remember all the frontline workers and the nurses and the doctors. Keep them safe and healthy and well. And each one of us, Lord, we pray. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.